Hi, I'm Pastor Sandy Shear. Thank you so much for joining us for the Guts Church podcast. This week, we have the privilege to hear from Pastor Bill. The message was produced with you in mind, and we would love to hear your story of how God is showing himself faithful in your life. Share your story by emailing story@gutschurch.com.
What's interesting is that we don't live in the Old Testament. We don't live in the Old Covenant. Listen to this now. We don't live in our past. We don't live in Egypt. We don't live in the wilderness. You hear me? See, Jesus has sealed the new covenant with his blood in our lives, okay? And you'll say, well, what about all the law? Let me tell you, I get the law. I really do. But Jesus fulfilled the law on my behalf, okay? I don't have to jump through those hoops anymore, all right? What I have to do now is I've got to love God with all my heart, soul, and strength, and my neighbor as myself, okay? I mean, that's what I've got to do. And that sums it up. And we have to understand that. See, Israel spent 40 years in the wilderness. And as a crow flies, the journey should have been 11 days. And it wasn't even going to be a brisk walk at 11 days. It was going to be just where 6 million people, but just over a million people got to the place where they crossed over. But we have to understand too that through this time, the problem wasn't, and this is going to be interesting for us, okay? That's going to make my point for tonight. But the problem wasn't Israel's enemies. Egypt wasn't the problem. That's not why it took 40 years to get through the wilderness. Okay, now listen, and here's where it's going to be personal for you, and it's going to be confrontive. Okay, I'm not going to get in your face, but I'm going to be direct, all right? But the problem wasn't their enemies. Your problem isn't your enemy. Well, I'm under attack. I'll tell you, I want to abolish those words from a Christian's mouth. Okay, I want to say it's not right to be running around telling everybody you're under attack. You're going through a time. We all are. Anybody in here not facing enemies? Anybody in here not under like the assault of what feels like the enemy? But see, the problem with Israel wasn't their enemies. It was their attitude and their mindset. See, the worldly expression is attitude's everything. And I believe that to be partially true. I believe attitude and mindset is everything. Okay? And we have to look at our attitude. We have to look at our mindset. You know, the Bible says without a vision, and a vision being a preferred picture of your future, without that preferred picture of your future, the Bible says we perish. We cast off restraint. And understand that. I mean, so many people, and see, we can cast vision, and that's what the promise of God does. It casts vision into our life. We can cast vision and cast vision, but unless somebody accepts it and makes it personal for them, and it affects, listen, their attitude and their mindset, it's not going to take. They're going to perish. They're going to cast off restraint. And see, so you've got to take responsibility for your life. And you can't do that, listen, by looking back at your past, by looking back at your failures or your successes. You take responsibility for your life by your attitude and your mindset now going forward. See, that's what the children of Israel, I mean, they were even talking, or they got sick of manna. And then they got sick of it. No, they got sick of manna, which was a delicacy. They got sick of manna because God only gave it to them daily. If they kept it a second day, it spoiled. And they're like, why don't you give us just enough for a month, enough for a few weeks, enough for a couple days? Why don't you just give us 2 days worth of manna? God said, I'm not going to. I don't want you settling in the wilderness. Okay, but then their attitude and their mindset just completely dishonored God. Golden calves, graven images. I mean, I mean, the whole idea. And see, we've got to look at this and we've got to understand now that that's how our lives are. See, there's people in here, there's people watching on the internet, there's people listening to this podcast that you are stuck in a moment in your life, you're in a place in your life where it's like, wait a second, this isn't worth it. Maybe miracles are for yesteryear. Maybe miracles are for other people. Maybe I'm just not good. Maybe I can't do it. And that's all the deception of the enemy. See, we've got to understand this. We've got to look at it and say, I am going to right here and right now change my attitude. I'm going to change my mindset. See, that's what you've got to do. Otherwise, it's flip a coin whether you win or lose. It's flip a coin whether your marriage makes it or you divorce. I mean, and that's literal. That's the odds. See, if you want your marriage to fail, leave your attitude unchecked. Leave your mindset in a worldly sense. In Romans, the sixth chapter, and the second verse, it says, how in the world can you still be controlled by sin when sin's dead in you? But listen to Romans 6:10. For the death that Jesus died, he died to sin. Now listen, once and for all. See, and it's not sin like stealing or lying. It's not specific. It's separation from God. See, right now, the nature of God is for us to be connected with him. But see, that nature now is in us, that he died to sin once and for all, but the life that he lives, now listen, he lives to God. See, that's me. See, our lives have to be, the vision of our life, the focus of our life, we've got to be, it's God's promise. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word was God. So it's got to focus toward the Word. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. Now, again, the action here in the name of Jesus, Jesus Christ or Christ Jesus. If it's Jesus Christ, the action is man to God. If it's Christ Jesus, the action is God to man. So now, go back to verse 11 on my screen. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin. Now listen, and you're thinking, okay, I can get there. I haven't sinned in the last, let me see, it's in the last 30 minutes. I really haven't committed any sin. I'm on the right track now, okay? But so I'm not in sin anymore. But now listen, alive to God in the action being from God to man in Christ Jesus. So now you're thinking, wait a second. It's no longer determined or dependent upon how well I live. If I answer all the right questions, if I read the Bible enough, if I pray enough, and all that stuff's important. Man, the Bible says to study the Word, to show yourself approved. And I wonder how many people truly study God's Word, truly want to get to the bottom of the character and nature and heart of God. But we're alive unto God. In verse 12, therefore, don't let sin reign in your mortal body that you should obey it in its lust. Now listen, that word reign is a big deal. It doesn't just, he doesn't write this and say, don't let sin be in your mortal body. It says, don't let it reign. Don't let it have dominion in your life, in your mortal body. And don't present your members as instruments of unrighteousness to sin, but present yourselves to God as being alive from the dead. Okay, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. If you have any kind of past in your mentality, in your makeup, in your vision, you're cooked. This all has to be right here and right now. For sin shall not have dominion over you. For you are not under the law, but under grace. See, the Old Testament, we read the Old Testament, the stories of the Old Testament, we love the Old Testament, but it's a type and shadow of what we're living, of what God gives us, okay? I'm talking about Egypt, that's your bondage to sin. See, no longer were the Israelites in bondage in Egypt. No longer are we in bondage to sin, but guess what? It's an 11-day walk for us to get to that place, the promised land. But you know what? It was an 11-day walk for them. For you, because the law has been fulfilled, the law of God in Christ Jesus now. See, we've got to look at it now. There's life. Now listen, not in an 11-day walk. There's a life in my next step. My next step now gives me that life. My next step is that promised land. My next step is the righteousness of God in Christ. But you've got to take that step. See, it's and that step, now listen, it's not a step where you're stepping on lateral ground. You're stepping into where you dive in. We have to begin to think what God's promises is. We have to think what God's promise is and have to say what he says. See, that's how this works. When I begin to think, when my mindset becomes God's promise, see, whatever it is you're facing right now, I guarantee you, you walk up to Scott, you walk up to Sandy, you walk up to Nina, you walk up to Jeremy, and you say, hey, man, here's what I'm going through. Man, I'm having a hard time. My bills are stacked this high, and my resources are stacked this high. And let me just tell you, we're not under the law anymore. So we're not living by what we see or how we feel. Man, I was reading a scripture recently that talks about God not trusting what he sees or what he hears. He's not trusting his eyes or his ears. He's trusting his promise. This is God trusting his promise. Man, Jesus didn't trust what he saw, didn't trust what he heard. He trusts what he knew of God. He trusted his promise. See, but it all requires our attitude. Are you listening? Our mindset. You got to change your attitude today. See, and I'm not gonna come with catchy, man, you change your attitude, you change your altitude. Man, I'm just telling you, man, your attitude toward life where it's not defeat, where it's victory. Man, in 2 Corinthians 10:3, Paul writes, it says, for though we walk in the flesh, we don't war according to the flesh. Do you understand? This is strong language. We don't do battle according to the flesh. See, I can't trust what I see. I can't trust how I feel. I can't trust what my senses are picking up. I've got to trust the promise of God that is embedded in my heart. For the weapons of our warfare are not worldly or carnal, but mighty in God for the pulling down of strongholds. You know, it's interesting, in the casting down arguments and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You know, in the Amplified, it says arguments, it says wrong thoughts, reasonings. Now listen, theories. See, the world lives by theory. See, science is based upon theory. But see, so facts come into play. And in your life, there's facts that are evident, and you're like, well, you know, I'm a black and white, I'm a literal thinker. Man, the facts are there, so that's what it is. And you can't think of this in terms of worldly black and white or worldly literal. You've got to think about things, and you've got to speak things pertaining to God's promise and nothing else. And every thought has to be brought into captivity. But listen, to the obedience of Christ. See, you've got to make your mind, you've got to force your mind into the obedience of Christ. And you can't play. The weapons of our warfare, everybody say warfare. The weapons of our warfare are not carnal or worldly. So the warfare is what? See, we're thinking the warfare is fighting the devil. I'm going to fight the devil. Man, the weapons of my warfare. The warfare is to fight the disobedient thought life that's in your head. That's where the warfare is. Write it down. Remember this. So the next time you think, oh, dear God, I'm under attack. What am I going to do? I need to go find my prayer partner. I need to go and... No, you know what you've got to do? You got to choose to lay hold of what's laid hold of you. And how do you do that? You do it mentally. See, God saved your spirit is born of God. But see, in Romans 12, verse 1, Paul writes and says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the very mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable, which is a reasonable service. Verse 2 says, and don't be conformed to this world. Now, he's talking to people whose, man, their spirits are born again, born of God, brand new spirits, alive unto God. And you're thinking, oh my gosh, that's it. I'm going to heaven. Do you know how many people make Jesus, that are born again, that are going to heaven, that lived a defeatist life? Oh, it's heartbreaking for me, and I didn't give my son to be brutally killed and to give his life for your sake, for you not to think that way. And you know what, honestly, is God looks at Adam and Eve and said, who told you you were naked? How dare you say you were naked? How dare you doubt? How dare you? You bring yourself to a sub-level place when I've given you everything that you can see. But see, you know what we want to do? We want to walk around. We don't want to go to hell, but we want to make our own decisions and live our own life. But see, we're not that. For us to live in the victory that God gave us through the triumph of Jesus, we've got to be bond slaves. We've got to let the mind of Christ be in us. See, we've got to change our attitudes. We've got to change our mindset. Man, our mindset that it's like, you know, I could never get over the hump. It's like, stop saying that. Man, stop giving in to the symptoms that try to come into your body. Man, I feel like I'm coming down with something. I don't live by how I feel. So here's the deal. Those symptoms hit your body. Now there's a war going on in your head. Are you let the symptoms win that war, or is God's promise going to win that war? Because the Bible says this. The Bible says the way a man thinks, so he is. The Bible says, I've set before you life and death. Man, what's life? By whose stripes you were healed. What's death? Man, I got these symptoms. Man, what are my chances, God? How are you going to treat it? Doc, what are my chances and how are you going to treat it? Oh, I got a bad diagnosis. What are you going to do? I am going to speed. I'm going to break every traffic law I can to get to that church and have somebody pray for me. So let me tell you, are you driving to church in fear? Because let me tell you what fear is going to do. Fear is going to paralyze you. Fear is going to prohibit you from running the race to win. I wrote a song before church today. I don't have a tune yet for it. And but I did write a song. That pastor that got me, he said, thank you for stuffing me in the back of my rental car. The guy that gave us a ride. Chano, can you come read my song?
Sure.
I wrote a song. What's so funny? Here, okay, come here. You do the beat part, and you do that with your head, okay? Okay. It's okay, now you gotta... No, you got it. I need a deal for him. Give him a deal. Hurry up. I wrote a song. And let me tell you, I know it's showing off, okay? Because there's songwriters that have mental block, like Joan Baez. She had mental block. So now, she hadn't written a song in 30 years. She sucks in that because... But me, what do I do? I get up and, like you're worried about Joan Baez now? You've never even heard of her. What are you, like 25 years old? Okay, you at least got to be old to get defensive about Joan Baez, okay?
Okay.
No, you have to hold it.
Yes, sir.
Okay, you got it? Okay, yeah. Go.
I've got to run. I've got to run. I've got to keep running. I've got to get out front. I've got to run as one who wins. I've got to run. The race is on. I can't run from behind. I've got to get out front. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I overcome no matter what by the blood of the Lamb and the word of my testimony. I've got to run as one who wins.
He's only
That's
got
all I got. I have one tune.
That's pretty good.
I'm just saying, thank you.
That's it, we're done. Oh,
I didn't really have that urban flow when I wrote it, but I'm realizing now it wasn't a country western song. You guys laugh. I wrote a song. Because, no, I'm just telling you, I got to run. I mean, it's like, if I come up to you and I say, you don't have your mic? Okay, I'll do you. Okay, if I come up to you, Chano, and I say, hey, you want to hang out in this disease?
No. I've got to run. I've got to run. She's here to help me.
Hey, you want to hang out right where you are and never get out of the poverty you're in?
I've got to run.
I got to run. Hey, you want to come in and you want to come in and have some pity? Eat a big bowl of pity?
I've got to keep running.
I can't hang out here. I've got to run. I have to run, okay? I'm sorry, I can't stay at that level, but
I have to run.
Yeah. See, we all need a picture of our preferred future. And you got to run to it. See, Bob, you've got to want it more than you want sympathy, or more than you want attention, or more than you want somebody to feel your pain. I mean, let me tell you something. No offense, I'm not getting political, but when Bill Clinton got up and said, I feel your pain, I wanted to slam the door on him. I don't need you to feel my pain. I got to run. See, the sympathy is not what we need. We need the power. We need the wonder-working power that comes in God's promise. That's what I need. You know why? I got to run. I got to run hard. I got to run as one who wins. No weapon formed against me will prosper. I got to run. No, you can't run anymore. Man, you're out of step. Let me just tell you, it doesn't say anything about rhythms of grace. It just talks about his grace overwhelming your adversaries. Do you have some enemy? Do you have some adversaries in your life? His grace, his power, his supernatural ability, his favor overruns, overrides, casts out his grace. Man, the perfect love that God's given us casts out fear. And you know what? Who in here, raise your hand if you deal with fear. Let me see your hands. Because God doesn't love you enough. Because he hasn't poured out his love in your life enough? No. It's because you keep looking back. You keep wondering what's going to happen. You start wondering what's going to happen, doubt's going to flood your life. And guess what doubt's going to do? It's going to keep that seed from germinating and growing and producing in your life. Receive no doubt. We all need a picture of our preferred future. Without a vision, we perish. Without a preferred future, we perish. Get out from where you are. We cast off restraint. Man, I've got a vision for my marriage. I've got a vision for my family. I've got a vision for this church. And guess what? Now our vision will outlive all of us. Because other people are going to catch it. Other people are going to run with it. See, that's what God's promise is in my life. His promise, Scott, is my preferred future. That's all it is. It's not a fairy tale. It's not hoping something I'm wishing is going to happen. No, you know what? I know that the God who started a work in me is faithful to complete it under the day of Christ Jesus. I know that whatever I ask or think isn't enough, isn't big enough for what God has for me. God's promise is a picture of a preferred future in my life. And let me tell you something, that's what I want. I want my latter days to be greater than my former. I want tomorrow to be the best dadgum day of my life. But guess what? Man, if I got my head up, I've got my eyes open, guess what I'm walking into? A harvest that's white and overripe. Man, a harvest that is so incredible. I'm going to need help to bring it in. Will you help me bring? How many guys will help me bring my harvest in? How many guys need help bringing your harvest in? How many guys? See, you got to look at it like that. You know why you're a part of the local church? Can I be real honest with you? Because you're going to need, this taps into you. You grab a hold of what's tapped into you, you're going to need help bringing that harvest in. And those guys in the world aren't going to do it. They're not going to see it. They're going to soil it. They're going to walk over it with their feet. You need men and women in your life. They're going to see that harvest, your preferred future. You think about your ministry harvest that's in front of you. Man, you think about it, you start thinking, God, this is so big, I'm going to need help. I'm going to need help. See, that's why it's a responsibility of this church and other churches to develop and deploy leaders, but not just people who could lead people from point A to point B. No, it's a promised land. That's what God's called us to be, leaders in the promised land. That's it. His promise, a preferred future. I'm believing God on your behalf that you see your future better than you ever have seen it before. I'm believing God on your behalf that the enemies that you have faced up to now, and here's what the word promises, you'll see them no more. Do you think it's because they go away? You know, the enemies that are in your life, do you think that they're just imaginary? No. You'll see them no more because God's going to lift your head. They're going to be there. Poverty's not going anywhere. Disease isn't going anywhere. It just can't come near me. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. That's the last time I checked. I'll check again too. I'll go check again. Oh yeah. Huh. All my needs met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Well, you just better check that again. Okay, I'll check it again. Oh yeah. All my needs are met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. See, that's embedded in my heart. So when excessive, see, it's not the basics, a loaf of bread or a carton of milk need. It's excessive need. All my excessive need is met. It's not the stuff that your neighbor could help you with. Hey, can I borrow a cup of sugar need? It's the things that they're not going to loan you the money. They're going to have excessive interest. There's no hope in the world for the need that you have. All that excessive need is met according to his riches and glory by Christ Jesus. Oh my gosh, how could you smile through what you're going through? Because happy are those whose God is the Lord. My situation and circumstances aren't the God of my life. Take a freaking hike. I can't play anymore. I can't let this. Well, you know, sometimes you get the bear and sometimes the bear gets you. It's like, heck no, man. We're here to win. The world's got to see winners.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. For more information about this message and others, please visit gutschurch.com.